Anchor is the easiest way to make a podcast. Anchor gives you everything you need for free, which you can use right from your phone or your computer. Creation tools allow you to create and edit your podcast so it sounds great. They'll distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard everywhere, like Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, and many more. You can easily make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, just like the big podcasts. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. And while you're at it, listen to the big podcast. Let's go. Okay, so I guess this weekend, it's just the weekend of me doing shit that I probably shouldn't do. I just revealed my identity on my YouTube channel that I've been telling you guys about, that I told everybody that I wasn't going to reveal my identity on. But I'm like, that would just give me more exposure if I revealed it, and more exposure to the other things that I'm doing. So I revealed it. But that is not the reason for this podcast. I think I'm actually going to call this an episode because I'm going to tell you guys a story. And I've been itching to tell this story. Honestly, I thought maybe I shouldn't tell this story. It would be unprofessional. And at the same time, do I really care? No. I feel like it's an important story to tell, and I want to tell it in its entirety. Because it seems like at least some people like to hear me talk. So I don't know if it's going to be funny, but I do want to talk about it. So let's get into the subject. So as you all know, as I say probably like every other podcast, about my little mishap, mental health breakdown situation that I'm like just newly recovering from. When I say newly recovering from, I mean like 3 weeks type shit. And you know, the reason why I'm newly recovering from this is because I got out of that stressful situation that I was in at the job that I was working at. So that is what we're going to be talking about. And I'm going to tell you guys, I'm not going to tell you guys where I worked at and any of that. I might not even tell you guys the actual thing that I did to try to keep some, excuse me, I'm sorry, to try to keep, you know, some confidentiality. But I'll tell you this. I previously worked in the student loans industry, okay, dealing with student loans. Now, was at the bottom of the food chain. I wasn't like, you know what I'm saying, a big wig or anything like that, anybody making any type of decisions, but I assisted people. I won't say it because, fuck it, I'll say it. It was basically like a call center, but for like white folk, and it was a government job. Like, basically, yeah, you guys that have student loans, when you call your student loan company, that's what I did. You're talking to me. That's as much as I'll go into the description, because again, this is very unprofessional, and I don't want to be just blatantly unprofessional. But, okay, let me stop bullshit. Let me get into the story. So, okay, you guys know that I moved up here from Florida. And within, like, 6 months of living in Pittsburgh, I found this job. And when I saw that the job was government, when I saw that the job, like, there was room for, growth and making more money, I thought, hey, this is going to be a good thing. So, you know, it was a good thing. I'm not going to sit here and act like, you know, hey, me and my girl moving in together, this, that wouldn't have happened. Getting our own place wouldn't have happened if I wouldn't have worked at this place. And, you know, me, I kind of try to, like, I'm going to be real. I haven't liked any job I've ever had. Even, like, good jobs that I've had, I haven't liked them because I just don't like working for somebody. I don't like being told what to do, and I don't... My cat's throwing up. Great. I'm going to have to pause this. Okay, we are back. I really hope you guys did not hear that, because that means I'm going to have to edit this. And editing on Anchor is just a fucking pain in the ass. But to anybody that's like an animal lover, don't be alarmed. This is unfortunately a regular thing, because she likes to eat things that she's not supposed to eat. So yeah. But moving on. So, you know, start working at this job. You know, it's cool. You know, and unfortunately, again, I have a lot of experience working in call centers. Like, if you're my age, if you don't really, like, have any skills and shit, or, excuse me, I'm sorry, y'all. If you don't have any skills and shit, you don't got no degree, no type of trade, unless you're, like, doing construction or working at a job where, you know, you're doing manual labor, which thankfully I'm going to be doing that from now on, but not manual labor, but like not sitting at a desk all day. But, I mean, like for the most part, call centers is where you really won't be at unless you, you know, work in the fast food place. But if you want like some full time shit, that's where a lot of us be at. Now, this place, I was probably one of the younger people there, like one of the youngest people there. And like, it was good. Like I said, it was good. But like, after a while, you know, me, I'm a very observant person, and I can kind of see through things. As I've said, like, I've worked in customer service basically my whole adult life. So that's 7 years, somehow, some way. Like, it's not just, like, face-to-face, but, like, mostly every job I've worked at, you know, even if it's a different type of job, it's been customer service. So it's like, I kind of am clear that, for the most part, the company really doesn't care about helping the customer. You just want to get off the optics or maybe, like, give off the impression that you're trying to help them and that you care about them. But when I got to this place, it was like that times 10. And then on top of it, they don't care about the employees either, which is the craziest thing ever. You know what I'm saying? It's like you customer service, you know, they always tell you you're the front line, you're the most important people there. Like, you do the most important job. You know, they try to bullshit you and all that. But you guys treat us like shit. And I don't have to go into detail because I know if you have student loans, you already know how nasty and fucked up this game is. But, like, I've seen some crazy, disgusting things. And I'm going to be careful not to say any names. And I'm going to say allegedly. I'm going to say everything that I'm about to say is allegedly. Because I can't keep saying that. I'll be forgetting to say it. All right. So, like, I just came to realize that, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is just a shit job. The place that I worked for, because you guys know that the DOE is who owns all the federal student loan debt, right? So we didn't necessarily work for them. We were contracted by them through the company that we worked for, to the point of being like, basically, they make all the rules and we have to follow them. They make all the rules. So basically, like, usually when you're working at a customer service place, if someone, you know, doesn't get their way, or they don't feel like they're giving all the options that are available to them, they can request to speak to someone higher up. And someone higher up can give them the options that they feel they should get. That's not how it works there. No one in the building can do anything, change anything. You know what I'm saying? We're there to relay information. And that's what I used to tell people, like, we're just here to relay information. Period, point blank. What we think don't matter, what we feel don't matter. And you better not say how you feel because they on your ass. This environment, it wasn't, when I tell you, it wasn't, I'm not gonna say it wasn't black people friendly, but I'll tell you this. If you don't have a certain type of diction, if you don't carry yourself a certain type of way as being someone that's black, you're not really gonna make it that long there. And I'll keep it at that. If you can understand what I'm saying. So me, I'm an introvert, I guess. I wouldn't really say I'm an introvert. I'm antisocial. Like, if I know you and I fuck with you, I can talk to you. But I've learned very, very early that business and personal life don't mix together. So that's how I care. I carry myself that way. That's how I act at every job. I don't talk to people. You're not going to know much about me. I'm pretty sure my listeners know way more about me than anybody in that organization that I worked at for 2 years does. Like, it's, I just, that's just how personal I am. I have friends. You know what I mean? If I want to hang out with somebody, I can hang out with my friends outside of work. I don't really want to make friends with people that I work with because what happens when someone that has to choose between their job and your friendship? They're going to choose their job. So I don't make it personal because it's never personal. Even if someone makes you think that it is, it's not. And I be telling my girl this, and she's seen exactly what I be saying at her job. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I carry myself. So I'm there to do work. And of course, you know me, I'm not a slouch, so I'm 100% all the time. So needless to say, I did very well there. And I continuously got raises just because of the nature of the job and the nature of the organization. You get raises a lot, especially like when you first start working, you get raises a lot. And on top of that, I got like somewhat of a promotion. I was doing basically the same thing, but it's a different title, and which means you get paid more money, which was kind of crazy because, like I'm telling y'all, it's not really friendly to our kind. Bro, you have to understand that I was basically on the brink of being fired probably for like the first 8 months I worked there. And it was because they bullshit as rules. It wasn't even anything like that was really anything crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've always had anxiety, but I didn't really, like, it really didn't start going crazy until I, like, got into this job. So there would be a lot of times where I'd, like, bro, I'd have to leave. You know what I'm saying? Like, because when you're working in that type of environment, it's just frustrating. You can't really help people. You know what I'm saying? And then they make it clear that they don't care about you. So it's like they expect you to be a robot. And then on top of it, what we're going, I'm just going to get into it. You guys know about the student loan forgiveness thing. And I know if you got student loans, you're going to know who I'm talking about because you know what's going on. Just let's keep it between us. So there's this whole loan forgiveness thing, bro, where you can work for a government or nonprofit organization And you, if you work there full time for 10 years while you're making your payments on a certain type of payment plan, you can get the remaining balance of your loans forgiven. Now, I have a theory with this. I don't think they want to actually do that. I'm not going to say that they don't have the money to do it. I'm going to say I don't think they want to actually do that based upon recent actions with COVID-19 and the stimulus bill and all of that. So I don't think they want to actually do that. From what I know, it was created in 2007. Like, the bill was passed by Barack, if I'm not mistaken. So 10 years, 2017 comes around. Now, I wasn't working there in 2017. I just got there in February of 2018. So still, it was, you know, people being eligible to get the forgiveness was still relatively new. But if you live in reality like I do, you already know it's pretty impossible to pay something that's expensive for 10 years straight if you either live below the poverty line, at the poverty line, or are middle class, or you just have children in a life. You know what I'm saying? Now, some people can do it. Some people have took the necessary steps to do it. Basically suffered, you know what I'm saying? That's really what they did. Suffered for 10 years and, you know, did without a lot of things for 10 years and lived way, way lower than they should have, being that they're college educated and are working citizens. Neither here nor there. But, you know, there's some people that, you know, did do it. And when I say some, emphasis on the word some, not a lot. So, you know, what happens is that, you know, a lot of people are, you know, getting to the point of, you know, reaching the threshold of forgiveness. We're not a big company. Just think about the millions of people that have student loans. Think about the millions of people that say, oh, wow, I want to do this loan forgiveness program so I can get rid of this debt. There's only so many of us that are able to process these applications, to process, to go over these payments and things of that such. And I'm giving you the corporate excuse. You know, there's not that many of us. There's only a handful of people that can go over these things. So it takes a long time to count people's payments and process this and tell people how much they're, you know, how many payments they have and where exactly they're at. So I'm going to give you, and I know it's a little bit jumbled, but that's a problem. This organization is the only organization out of the, I'm going to say 10, maybe that's not that much, but elite, but 10 or less federal student loan companies that is able to do this program. For what reason? I don't know. Some scheme and shit, I'm sure. But we're not that big of a company. You know what I'm saying? So everybody who wants to do this program has to bring their loans over to this organization. Now, another loan organization that I will not name, and you guys know of this as well if you are in, if you have student loans, that's horrible, maybe even worse than this organization, so horrible to the point where they had to change their name. Somewhat all of the people, I'm not going to call them what we used to call them, of the people that had loans with that company, they had to get transferred over to us. Somehow, some way, you know, their information, all of these people's information, just coincidentally, their payment information, like the date of the payment, the amount of the payment, all of the payment information that would that we would need to let us know if they were qualified and making so to say qualifying payments for the program. That information was not able to be transferred from that one company to our company. So just think of it, I'm going to just say 1 million people not knowing what their payment information is, not knowing if they're going to be eligible for this program. You don't know. And these are people that are some 10 years in, some 5 years in, some 12 months in, but they want to know where they're at because, you know, like I said, student loans are a big thing. You know, this would change lives for some people if they were able to get this weight off of their back. So there, people are trying to make life decisions around this. So not being able to know this information is very detrimental, especially if you're someone that's been faithfully paying your loans and you know that you're coming up to 10 years worth of payments. Okay, so there's a big hoopla about this, and it's amazing that my heart, this is where my hard work got me. My hard work got me to being a part of this department. My hard work got me to taking mostly these calls every day, all day, of these angry people, and rightfully so. So they didn't really give us any information to why the payments were, I'll just say it, unassessed, meaning like we haven't completed the review of them, so we don't have any information on them because we quote unquote don't have your information. It didn't transfer over when you were transferred to us. So for the longest, they wasn't given any information onto like what was going on. Like you'd ask superiors, they get added to with you. You know what I'm saying? There was no information, even with the people that were in this department working on this. So somehow, you know, because every, you know, of course, there's going to be somebody that runs their damn mouth. It was going around that, and quote unquote, I don't believe this shit. It was going around that when you have are transferring over the information, like people that actually deal with the transferring over of accounts from one loan servicer to another one, it was going around that that this shit is bullshit. It's fucking bullshit. It was going around that when you're looking at someone's like account information on the computer, when you know it has all of their loan stuff, like every application they've sent in, anything that has anything to do with their account since their loans have been originated is on that screen. But when you look at the payment information, it doesn't say anything. You know, you can't see anything. There's a glitch in the system where it's not showing any of the payment information. Don't y'all think that's fucking crazy? It's just a fucking huge coincidence that the most important fucking thing on this account, basically the reason why this person is transferring over to us, cannot be found by the two most shadiest loan companies. I know. So just imagine having to take calls like this, and people, you know, they were transferred over a year ago. They still have no information on how many payments they have towards this program. And you having to say a script basically saying, this takes extensive research to complete. We do not have a time frame on when this is going to be completed. And, you know, we have no estimates, and there's no way to expedite this.
And then at the end it says, but make sure you're completing your recertification information, and you can do that on your online account, blah, blah, blah. Now, I'm going to say a couple of these things because a couple of these things are like public information. Like, it's out there. You can like go on the Google and find it. So what we're going to talk about is the infamous employment certification form. the wackest shit ever. The worst thing ever. Employment certification form. If you are a part of the, and I'll just say the program because, again, public information. If you're a part of public service loan forgiveness, you have filled one of these out. You've probably filled several of these out because they get denied so easily. What you have to do, if you work for a government or nonprofit, an approved 501c3 organization, just not any nonprofit. Crazy, right? You have to get this signed by either a superior at your job or if you have like an HR department. Again, public information. Everybody knows that. So you get it signed, and you have to get this signed by every type, every qualifying job that you worked at where you want payments that you made at the time that you were working for this place to count for the program. Okay? Yeah, it's very convoluted. I know. So, boom. You have to get that signed by your employer. So you'd think, you know, you get that signed by your employer as long as you're working there, that you can have that one form counted. No, buddy. That's not how we do it at the government. It's why would we ever make it to where your life is easy? So this is how it works. The date on the form, the date that it was signed, the time frame that is like counted for the payments counts from the day you started your employment up until the date that the form was signed. So I'll make it easy for you all. Basically, if you started a job on April 1st and you got your employer to sign the form on April 1st, you're going to have one qualifying day. So if you made a payment on that day, that'll count as a qualifying payment. If you did not, you don't have the required documentation to count the payments as qualifying. So we recommend that you submit it once a year. And you know, it's crazy that like I'm starting to regurgitate the shit that I used to tell people, so that you submit it once a year. Cool. Now, I'll give them some bail because a lot of you guys don't like to read. I don't understand how people have like degrees and shit and don't read fine print. But again, neither here nor there. So a lot of people don't know that because they don't read the form. It explains it, but they don't read. And, you know, there are messages sent out that, you know, remind people to submit it once a year. Again, they don't read. So I would say it's the best, that's the best option because, again, you know, you're working with the government. They're shiesty. You want to keep everything up to date on file and you want to keep it for yourself because, again, government shiesty, they'll try to lie and say, oh, this wasn't what it was, even though we have it on file. So, best option is to do that. So, you know, just understand this. You are implement, you're there, meaning you're meaning me. You're there to implement this bullshit-ass program and implement these bullshit-ass rules, and we'll get into the rules a little bit more. And at the same time, you have to fight with the customer because the customer wants to tell you what the qualifications are because you don't know them. You know what I'm saying? You, where you work there, you get these things hammered in your head because the trainings, oh my God. Oh my God, it's information overload. But you don't know what you're talking about. They do, and they didn't read anything. So just imagine, stressful. So on top of, you know, you having to turn this in once a year, at every job that you work at. So basically, you at least, at the very least, you have to fill one out when you start working there and when you stop working there. At the very least. So, cool. Now, you would think, fill out the information, it'll get approved. You better not make any mistakes on that shit. Like, any. I promise you, bro, if you, say you're filling it out, say you start talking to somebody else, and, like, you, like, accidentally run your pen, like, in the bottom right-hand corner by where no other writing is at, and there's just, like, a stray mark down there, it'll be denied. You know why? Because they're going to tell you, oh, it looks like you altered your answer on here, and if you alter your answer on here, you have to sign and date it. Cool. So, I understand the rule. I understand the rule, but the enforcing of it is the thing that's bullshit. So, the enforcing of it, why it's bullshit is because if someone, like, writes their date, the date of something, and you accidentally write an 8, and then you accidentally write a 0, and then you, like, color it in to be an 8, it'll be denied, because they'll say it was altered, even though you can clearly see why it was altered. And why, like, again, why would, this is what I always thought, like, who is going to, like, it, like, sign something that they have nothing to do with when it's about loan forgiveness? If it's not your loan, why would you write something on it? You know what I'm saying? They'll be like, oh, so we know that it's you. Like, why would somebody else write something on this document? What are they going to gain from that? You know what I mean? And again, I'll shoot them some more bail. Because, again, people with degrees act, they're not that smart. I'm just going to be real. A lot of Americans with degrees are not smart. They don't fill out the whole form. They don't want to put the full date. And, I mean, I understand why you want them to put the full date, because you want to be able to confirm their information. Because you have to confirm. They still have to, like, look up and make sure, like, where you're working at is real. You know what I'm saying? It's, you know, they're forgiving thousands of dollars. So I can understand that. But, you know, people don't want to fill out the whole form. People's bosses don't want to fill out the whole form. Like, there's literally been people that, like, have put on the form, I'm not filling this out. You can find all this information. So I can understand that. That's pretty idiotic. But at the same time, it's crazy. So, you know, my hard work has got me to that. Like, bro, this is kind of where I, like, I was smoking. I always smoked while working at this job, because good thing working at the, when you're working for the state, they don't drug test. They just ask that you don't come in there fucked up or smelling like weed. Of course, we had some Negroes, and yeah, you guys are Negroes, that, you know, was smelling like weed in the training room and stuff, like, just, you know, niggas being stupid Pittsburgh niggas, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, bro, and this is a little off topic, but I just want to throw this out there, and I'm learning this myself because I've stopped smoking on social media. Everybody don't gotta know that you're smoking. And, like, me putting videos up of me smoking on social media, I just like making videos of me smoking. I probably will still do that. I just won't have them accessible to the outside world. But, like, everybody doesn't know that you need to know that you're smoking. Like, there'll be people that be, like, smoking at the bus stop, or, like, smoking just, like, in a large group of people. It's like, why? Now, I can understand that if you maybe live with your parents and, like, you can't smoke anywhere else. I still don't get why you have to do it near everybody else, because, like, you know, just common courtesy. Not everybody wants to smell that. Even if somebody does smoke, I don't want to smell that going to work. Like, it would be people, like, downtown, it'll be people like smoking at the bus stop. And it's like, you know, weed smoke, like it, you don't have to be the one smoking it to smell like it. You just have to be around somebody that smells like it. It's like, come on, bro. You know what I mean? Just stupid shit. But back on track. So, my hard work. So, I'm one of the younger individuals that works there, especially in this department, in any of the departments that I work in. Like, there's young people that work there, but they usually don't make it too far. You know what I'm saying? So, especially in this department, I can't really speak for all of the other locations, but I'm talking about the location that I was, the location that I was at. So, on top of that, you guys know the majority of the people that have degrees, you guys know their ethnic background, is what I'll say. On top of them, me not being a part of that ethnic background, I'm a young one. I'm a young guy, too. I'm not dumb. I make it a point to know my information. So I'm not giving out bad information, but people are telling me all day, you don't know what you're talking about. No, like literally telling me, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're doing. Blah, blah, blah. Having to deal with that for 9 hours a day, 5 days a week. You don't know what you're talking about. I want to speak to your supervisor. Nowhere on the paper does it say that, even though it says it on the paper. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. So, of course, you know, there's not really much wiggle room. A lot of calls get, they get requested to speak to a supervisor because you, number one, you don't think this person knows what they're talking about. Number two, you don't want to talk to them. Number three, they're not giving you the answer that you want. And they physically can't give you the answer that you want because we don't have an answer. In this regard, I'm talking about the, oh, there's no time frame on the payment review. Oh, we have no information because it didn't transfer over properly. I'm talking about that. So, you know, yeah, you're pissed. You don't want to speak to this nigger anymore. Well, where's the supervisor? So, boom, there's that. So, like, I'm getting talked to about the escalated calls. And I'm like, you guys do realize that this is the only, these are the only type of calls that get escalated. But the reason why they're always escalated is because, number one, this is the majority of the calls I take because it's a huge problem for your customers. So I'm like, I don't have what I'm like, I'm asking them, like, what would you like me to say? Is there any more information that I can give them? Is there any other way that I can help them? No, we're still working on that. Of course you are. So, you know, there's that. They tell us, we're going to have more information by September of 2019. We're going to have a lot more payments completed by September of 2019, meaning that a lot of the people that's have issue of not having any idea of how many payments they have, a lot of people will not have that issue by September 2019. Do you think that by September of 2019, that actually was a fact that that was what was happening? No, it wasn't. It wasn't. So, of course, there's even more. They even like had us, they made a whole script to bank, basically promising people that by September that this was going to be a thing. So that was the way, you know, that was a way to get people off of the phone at that time. But when it came, there was no information. So they're still telling you, you know, you keep telling these people this thing. You keep telling them this. And then we said we're gonna do. They even went so, like, and this was another thing that just made me hate this place and added a lot to the stress. They they would do things like, because we had, like, if you work at call centers, you know, like, they have, like, packets, so, you know, of, you know, rules that we have and things that you say, like, suggested language. We didn't have to read scripts, but, like, it was suggested language, meaning, like, say it like this, because, you know, it'll sound better, basically. So they gave us that. We all had that information. We were trained in that department. But, like, it wasn't like I was the only one who was getting supervisors requested. Because even if you're, like, these people's age, their demographic, you're still not giving them any information. They want the information. So they're going to request a supervisor. So they went so as far as, and, like, this is one of the biggest things. I know I just said that. They went so as far as enlarging the suggested talking points or whatever you want to call it, and passing them around to everybody in that department, knowing that we already have this information. And it's like, you think that making the words bigger for us to read is gonna change how they're reacting to it? All right, okay, that's very clever of you guys. It's very clever. I would never have thought of that. So, you know, we even, like, had, like, meetings and stuff, and, like, it was, like, people just basically saying, you know, make sure you're saying this, make sure you're saying that. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, bro, I say this. I say it. I'm not rude. You know what I mean? I'm not, like, I'm a totally different person, like, on the phone, maybe. I think that was another thing that contributed to my stress on having to be a totally different person and, like, having to check my responses all day, every day. So, totally different person on the phone. So, I'm like, I'm not rude or anything. So, that's not what it is. It's not my disposition. It's not my attitude. So, I'm like, you know, it's basically, I remember, like, we, because they had this thing where they had, it's crazy. They do everything but, like, fix the actual problems. They had this thing where they basically made, like, a site for the customers to rate their calls and say what was wrong with the call. And, of course, my score was low on there, but, like, everybody's problem was with the organization, not me. So, like, one of the supervisors calls a meeting, and for the most part, that's pretty much why everybody else's scores were low. I mean, there's, you know, it's Pittsburgh, so there's, like, just some fucking dicks that work at customer service, you know. I don't know why, but for the most part, like, it was because, you know, the rules were the rules. So we're, like, he's, like, telling us, you know, you're not in trouble. This isn't a bad thing. We're just here to try to, you know, talk about what's going on. And this one guy was like, well, if we're not in trouble, why are we here? You know what I'm saying? If this isn't a bad thing, if how we speak to people isn't wrong, why are we here? You know what I mean? Like, and I'm like, we're sitting there. I'm like, I don't think we're the problem. I think the problem is that we don't have enough information, and people want this information, and they're very upset that they have to keep calling about this. They call about it 6 months ago and they were told the same thing. They called about it a year ago and was told the same thing. I think that's why they're frustrated. And maybe, you know, if it would help if we could get more information on when it's going to be fixed. He's like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't have any of that information. You know, it was kind of like a spit in the face, and not from him exactly, but from the people higher up, because it's like, you know exactly what the problem is. You know, train other people to be able to, you know, review these payments. Hire more people to be able to review these payments. Hiring people may be a problem because there's a high turnover rate in this organization because the job is absolute bullshit. You know, you make it clear to people that for the first 6 months, they basically have to be there every day. And if you miss like 3 or 4 days, not in a row, like 3 or 4 days, meaning like you don't have any PTO for like the first 6 months that you work there. So you really can't, and like you can schedule days off. You're not going to get paid for it. But like say you call out sick, you can only do that maybe like 3 or 4 times. And if, and then anything past that, you get fired. So, you know, high turnover rate as far as like, you know, if there's someone that works there, I've seen people that like had health problems or somebody that was like had a baby end up getting fired because they missed, you know, the sick days, even if you had a sick note, even if you had a sick note. That was pretty much the reason that I was in the quote unquote in hot water. You know what I'm saying? I felt like it was a way that they could keep me from getting the position that I finally got. Because it was, you know, it was like, yo, I have the necessary statistics to get this position. Why am I not getting it? You know what I mean? And it got to a point where it's like, all right, number one, I'm no longer in this quote unquote hot water. You know what I'm saying? Because I've made it, you know, I just had to tighten up all the way. Because I didn't want to lose this job because it, you know, was paying the bills. So I got to a point where it's just like, okay, I'm not in this hot water anymore. So, you know, there's no reason. You know what I'm saying? There's no reason I can't get this position after I've applied for it. Like, it was a lot of stuff. It's a lot of things, like, that happened in that place that was just crazy. Like, there's a thing that's called a final warning, basically meaning that, not a final warning, a final, basically meaning, like, this is it before we fire you. So, you know, I've told you guys that, like, I've had, like, IBS as end result to having anxiety. I don't want to say what it is because I've already been vulgar talking about it. You can look it up, IBS. So there's been times where, like, most of the times where, like, I would miss work because I'd get up for work and basically wouldn't be able to leave because I'm on the toilet all day dealing with that. And there was one time that I had, like, 7 hours of sick time, right? Or 8 hours of sick time. No, I think I had, like, 8 hours and 30 minutes of sick time. Something crazy. Work 9-hour shifts. An hour lunch that's unpaid. So I don't know why the sick time has to cover the time you're not getting paid. But hey, finesse us. So there was, and this is, I had a different supervisor than the one I was just talking about. And this probably was like my, this would have been my third missed day. So I'm not like, guys, I don't work there anymore. And I'm kind of like ridded my head of all of the rules and stuff. So I think it was three. If you do it 3 times, like if you're a mixture of being late 3 times or missing 3 days, you know what I'm saying? Like three occurrences, basically. I got my final warning because I caught off that day and I didn't have enough sick time to cover somewhere between like anywhere from 30 minutes to 2 hours of that day. That was my final warning. You know what I'm saying? It was crazy. So that happens. And, you know, the work continues. Basically, anything that I'm telling you guys, it continued, you know, up until when I had to stop, you know, working. It got to a point, like, leading up to the big breakdown, probably like, because I, like, the big breakdown was in November, end of October of last year, and probably, like, for 2 to 3 months before that, I legit wasn't sleeping at night at all.
Like, I wasn't sleeping at night. I hadn't had the whole heart, the whole chest palpitations thing yet, where my heart was beating fast. But, you know, it wasn't sleeping at night. Smoking so much more than usual. Like, I'm a smoker. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to sit here and just say, like, oh, I only smoked an eighth a week before this. Now, I'm a smoker, but, like, I was smoking so much more than usual. And, number one, to sleep. Number two, to just cope with just being frustrated every day and just sick of that place. So that was happening. And, you know, just one day when I was working there, I got the chest palpitations and I got like dizzy, you know, and I was like on the phone. I think somebody was like yelling at me and I got like dizzy and like I like legit almost fainted. It was bad. So, and like this wasn't, I had like legit anxiety attacks at work before, but that was more of an emotional thing. Like, I was, like, crying and stuff. Like, it was, you know what I'm saying? It was more of an emotional thing, so I knew what it was. But this was something crazy because it wasn't the usual, oh, I think I'm going to die. Oh, my God, I can't breathe. Oh, my God. Like, it wasn't the usual thing. Like, I still had all my wits. You know what I mean? I wasn't emotional. I wasn't like, I don't know. It wasn't a regular episode. And if you deal with anxiety, you can understand what I mean. So I didn't know what it was. Like the chest pains, like chest, like hurting. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know what it was. So I kind of just, you know, I still had to work, man. Like, there were so many times where, like, I wanted to leave that place, but I knew that wherever I would go, it wasn't going to pay as much. And then on top of it, like, Pittsburgh, it's not like a, you know, Pittsburgh's a known city, but it's a small town. You know what I mean? It's, you know, it's like, I mean, it's the Northeast, bro. You know, if you've are from the Northeast or you, you know about the Northeast, you know what it is. It's a rough and tough city. Not a lot of jobs. You know what I'm saying? A lot of violence. So, you know, I had tried to find other jobs. It just didn't work out. And, you know, it would get to the point where I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to have to stay here. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that happens. And I just hit a wall. I just hit a fucking wall. Like, you know, there would be days, you know, it got to a point where I had to, you know, sign up with the Family Medical Leave Act stuff, FMLA, because like I just wasn't able to, you know, go to work, especially not for all day. So at this point, you know, as I told you guys, I got my stuff together to the point where I had a lot of PTO, had a lot of sick time. So I wasn't really feeling the impact of not being able to go to work fully. And then on top of that, at the start of this, I was still able to go to work, but I wouldn't be able to make it through the whole day. You know what I'm saying? I probably like 6 or 7 o'clock. I would, crazy shift as well. 6 or 7 o'clock, I just would be damn near about to freak out, you know. So, another thing I'll throw in there, never had a shift bid the whole time I worked there. Never had a shift bid, never had any option to work an earlier shift based on, like, performance or anything. Never. I've never heard of that working at a call center, but, you know, whatever. So, you know, it gets to the point where it's like, I, I'm,
And this is not like all straight through, because of course I had to go to the doctor to get the FMLA. So I go to the doctor, and this is everybody that I mentioned in this, it's a fuck you to all of you, because you all are horrible and don't know how to treat your clients. And I'm going to say the doctor's name, not the doctor's name, but the doctor's office, because I didn't work for you all. You guys are horrible and people should know that you're horrible. So I live in outside of PA, like outside of the city of Pittsburgh. So I live in a borough. You know what I'm saying? If you know anything about Pittsburgh, you know that living outside of the city, like right next to Pittsburgh, is way better because they just treat the environment better. Like, yeah, there's still potholes here and there, but it's nowhere near as much as the city. As far as when it snows, like, they are out there before you even wake up. You know what I'm saying? You never got to worry about, like, slush and stuff and, like, ice and stuff. You don't never got to worry about any of that because your streets is clean before you even get up. That has nothing to do with what I was going to say. But there's a office. I'm actually not going to say the name because I don't want people to know where I live exactly. There's an office right down the street from our apartment building, complex, compound, whatever you want to call this, kingdom, whatever. So, like, you guys know I don't drive, but, like, it's walking distance. Like, it's not even a 10-minute walk. So, I walked there, and I had an appointment with a nurse practitioner. First red flag. So, had a permanent appointment with a nurse practitioner, female. Second red flag. Not of my demographic. Third red flag. Ethnicity, demographic, whatever. You know what's going on. So, had an appointment with her. Talking to her. The whole time, she's like looking at me like she doesn't believe what I'm saying. And like she doesn't, like she has something else better to do. And like she just has no concern of really what's going on with me. So she prescribed me this medication. This is actually when I stopped being able to work fully. Why did I stop being able to work fully? Because the medication she gave me had 890 side effects. Now, it didn't have 890 side effects, but it had over 10. No exaggeration. So the most crippling side effects, and you guys have heard this if you've been listening to me since, you know, at least for the last 10 podcasts. The most crippling side effect was, most crippling side effect was insomnia, like, insomnia. Like, before, I would probably go to sleep at, like, 5 a.m., and I would have to get up at, like, 9. No, I'm talking about not sleeping at night at all. At all. You know what I'm saying? So, that, puking, I don't know the medical term, but I'm really jittery. Like, it was feeling like niggas was literally shocking me. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, my legs is just so jittery. Lack of appetite. Like zero. Like, I lost, like, 10 pounds in a matter of 2 weeks. At least 10 pounds. Like, no appetite at all. I'm talking about, like, eating a piece of bread a day. Type no appetite. A lot of stuff going on. So, like, I don't know about you guys, but you can't really work when all of that's going on and more. You know what I'm saying? So that happens. And I'm like, you know, it gets to a point where, you know, I see that the PTO is dwindling down. I see that the sick time is dwindling down. And it does not accrue if you're not there working. So, you know, we're getting scared. My queen is getting scared, rightfully so, because, you know, we're not rich, you know what I'm saying? I would love, you know, to build up myself to be able to take care of her fully, but it's just not like that. But on top of that, I do take care of a lot of things. So my income not being there is a big blow. You know what I mean? It's not, you guys know what I'm saying. So, you know, she's getting scared. She's getting stressed out. So I'm like, bro, I got to go back to the doctor. We got to see, you know, we got to do something else. And, you know, I got to pause real quick because I have a lot more to say. I have a lot more to say, and I don't want this to cut me off. So I'll be right back. All right, we're back. I just wanted to make sure that it didn't cut me off because it stops recording after like 60 minutes straight. So, you know, we're scared. I have to you know, go to the doctor again. So, this is another thing that this fuck-ass doctor's office did. I'm calling, you know, to set up an appointment. And I'm like, I need to see a doctor. And, like, this reception lady is, like, hounding me to, like, take an appointment with a nurse practitioner. She's like, oh, they're qualified to see you. They can give you the same help. And I said, no, I don't want to see a nurse practitioner. I don't care if you don't have anybody available. Schedule me with a doctor when you have them available, because I saw what was happening. You know what I'm saying? These people were very rude. It was like pulling hair to get my FMLA paperwork filled out. It was the worst. Like, remember I told you guys that, like, my the paperwork, like when people send you in the paperwork, it's very, very by the book. It's very just fuckery filled. That's the same way the FMLA people treated me, or treat the employees. So, you know, they're picking at every single thing, saying, oh, this isn't completed, this isn't completed. And I mean, in this situation, it was rightfully so, because it's like, bro, why are you not answering all of the questions on the form? You know what I'm saying? Number one, the reason why she wasn't answering all of the questions on the form was because she, like, the appointment, I was only there for like 5 minutes. She didn't take the time to actually get everything she needed to know about this shit. So that happens. You know what I'm saying? I had to go in there and, you know, say, you know, can you guys, I had to go in there one day, you know, to the receptionist and be like, can you give this to nurse so-and-so? FMLA said this is missing. And she tried to get smart with me and say, no, it's not. And I had to point it out, because I don't understand how you can tell me it's not missing when you didn't even take the time to look at what I'm talking about. So I sat there and I had to point out, you know, no, this is missing. And you see right there where it's missing as well, you know, because y'all know. And I'm sorry, y'all, because I know that I put my socials and podcast information on my YouTube. I'm sorry if you're a new listener. I be saying cracker, bro. I be saying cracker. I'm sorry. But, like, these crackers was, like, really on some bullshit. And coincidentally so, my information, like, when I initially gave her that paperwork, I got it the next day. When I took it back, it was 2 weeks and I still hadn't gotten an answer. So, yeah, crazy, huh? So I called and I'm like, can I have an update on my paperwork? This is like the most disgusting thing about this all, dealing with this doctor's office. So I'm speaking to a different receptionist, and she's like, well, I don't see that it's completed. We usually call when we usually call when you, when we have your paperwork ready. So we'll just give you a call. And I said, yeah, I can't take that answer because it's, you know, funny, like what I just told y'all, funny how it took a day when I first turned it in, but now that, you know, it was denied, it's taking over 2 weeks. I'm sure that you can find out what the status is and how much longer is it's going to take. She's basically keeps telling me, oh, we'll call you, we'll call you. I said, and I had to, like, I legit had to sit on the phone for 10 minutes saying, so you can't find out an estimated time frame of when I'm going to get this back. And I had to keep saying that to her because she was basically trying to get me to give up and just say, oh, just take the answer of, oh, we'll call you when we're done. Like, no, it doesn't take that long. So I just had to keep saying, like, so you can't, there's no way that you can ask the nurse because, like, bro, you act like I haven't been to the office. Like, it's not that big of an office. She's like in the next room. You guys' offices are like across the hall. I've been there. Hello. So, and I'm like repeatedly asking her this. You know what I'm saying? It's just disgusting. Like, come on, bro. Like, help. That's your job, to help. So, you know, she gets, it's so crazy. The paperwork was signed by the end of that day, that exact day. So, I get the paperwork sent in, FMLA is complete. Finally, approved. And you guys already know, my job's hounding me the whole time while this is happening, because it's not approved. So, excuse me. Continue that. So, fast forward to when I know I'm all over the place with the story, but fast forward to when I get the appointment with the doctor, and I go and see the doctor. The one thing I want to say before I go into this part of the story is that, you know, that they made me choose my primary doctor before even seeing a doctor. How does that work? How can I choose a doctor if I don't know him? You see how ass backwards this shit is? So I see the doctor, and this wasn't my primary doctor, you know what I'm saying? But primary doctor, a doctor that's my primary that never seen me. Bullshit, right? So I see the doctor. I'm talking to the doctor for we were there for about 45 minutes. He had me take a heart monitor home. I had to wear a heart monitor. Yeah, a heart monitor on for like 48 hours. He changed my medicine because the medicine that he gave me is not a medicine that you usually would prescribe to men. Changed my medicine. You know what I'm saying? He actually changed my medicine, gave me like two. He gave me something to where I take when I start having an anxiety moment. At this point, like, it was past just the abnormal episodes. The emotion was kicking in as well because of the medicine I was on, and on top of just the stress of, you know, knowing that it's not going to be money coming in like usual and all of that. So all of that happens. It takes a while for the previous medicine to wear off. Excuse me. But I'm going to fast forward a little bit. Medicine wasn't working. Period. Medicine wasn't working. Nothing was working. Nothing was working. And I figured out, like, bro, it's this job. Nothing's going to help this. I have to get out of this job. I have to find another place to work. It's not going to work. I can't go back. It's just not going to work. So, me thinking that, I'm still in a point where I'm a mess emotionally, mentally. It's not, I can't go to work at my regular job. How am I going to get a new job? Like, it was to the point where I'm filling out job applications and I'm, you know, insomnia to the point where I'm not up the next day to talk on the phone about a job application. I set up an interview and it wasn't like it was a lot. This probably happened. These were probably like two isolated incidents, but, you know, still set up an interview. And like, I wake up the next day and like, my mind is so all over the place. If you've ever been like depressed, anxious, like you can't think straight. Like, I'm like forgetting that I have stuff done. Like, and I'm not remembering until like 3 days later. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't think straight. Like, if you ever are like in a relationship with somebody, or you have a friendship with somebody that suffers from depression, and they're not like keeping up with you, just give them the benefit of the doubt, because they may be going through something that may be why they can't keep up with responding to you, calling you. Like, they're sometimes not texting you back just out of like, just like, ignoring you. It's not that. Like, you should have seen my phone at this time, bro. Like, oh my God, like, mad unread text messages, missed calls. I had, like, it was at a point I had, like, and I'm, like I told you guys, I'm not a person that's, like, I have friends, but, like, I'm not hanging out with them all the time. I'm not, you know, I'm just not out there. I'm doing my own thing, you know what I mean? So, it's at a point that now I'm at, like, 30 new voicemails. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was crazy, bro. So, I told you guys that other story. I'm not going to talk about that. I don't want to talk about that. But you guys know that there was something else that happened with a family member that, you know, really sucked. But, long story short, because we're already an hour deep, almost at an hour and a half. Long story short, I never went back. It got to a point where, like, I don't want to give our business out there, but, like, it got bad. It got bad. And I'll say this, we're still recovering, but, you know, with this stimulus check and other things that, you know, I was able to tap into, we'll be okay. But yeah, it's, you know, was crazy. Like, I'll tell you guys this, my birthday on January 25th, I've never felt this way. I didn't want to be here. Why I didn't want to be here? Because it's my birthday and I have nothing to be happy about. I was, you know, if you listen to the first episode, you know, it's not like before this happened, life was all peaches and cream. But it felt like I was on my way to elevating and becoming the responsible adult that I'm supposed to be. You know what I mean? Like, 100% responsible. I've always been responsible, but, like, on my shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, really able to, you know, I don't know how to exactly form the words, but it felt like I was elevating. You know what I'm saying? And it seemed like I kind of was, like, put all the way back to ground zero. And I was mad at myself. I was just sad. I felt like a failure. I used to sit there and, like, tell my girl, like, I'm just a failure. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just suck. I can't do anything. It's like, anytime in life I try to do something and try to succeed at it, I just fuck it up somehow, some way, and have to start from zero again. And like, I really felt like that. I really felt like just like nothing, just worthless. And I'll be honest with y'all, it's not as bad as it was at that time, but like, I still have to fight myself, and I still have to like really like tell myself, yo, number one, this wasn't your fault. You didn't do anything that made this, you know, what it was. You know what I'm saying? Your brain just gave out. You know what I'm saying? It's not like I was being a sucky fucking employee. You know what I mean? It's not like, you know what I'm saying, I got fired or anything. It's just, I just ran into a brick wall. But, you know, nobody cares about that. You know what I'm saying? Especially bills and stuff like that. Nobody cares. They don't want to hear that. So, thankfully, it hasn't gotten to the point where, you know, we're in jeopardy of, like, not having a place to stay or nothing. But, you know, it just hasn't been normal. You know what I'm saying? It hasn't been normal. And I felt very bad about that. Like, my girlfriend's birthday passed, couldn't do anything. And, like, me, like, I really love my girlfriend. So it was, I felt like shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember her last birthday. Man, it was some money spent. You know what I'm saying? It was actually the last two birthdays. It was some money spent. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, it's her day. You know what I mean? And I remember her feeling bad on my birthday, because she was saying, oh, I felt like I didn't do enough. And she did a lot. She did a lot. She was, like, trying to get me to, like, be happy. And she felt bad, but it wasn't her. It was, I just didn't feel good. That was the worst I've ever felt that day, ever. So, you know, all of that is happening. And what do you do? You know what I mean? It's crazy. And then on top of that, you know, we're trying to find new employment in Pittsburgh. It's a shitstorm, bro. Like, you would think that, you know, applying for a job that's saying they need people that you're qualified for would be just that easy. You go to the interview. It's not. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? It got to a point where, like, I wasn't even putting my race on shit, because it's like, what is this? You know what I'm saying? Like, why am I not getting anything? It was kind of like, I felt like it was like meant for me to just keep failing. So, so that happens. Excuse me. And I finally find new employment. And guess what? The, like, right when I, you know, I was supposed to start and everything, coronavirus. Awesome, isn't it? So, this is what I've done. I technically have a new job. It's just shut down until further notice, once the coronavirus is, you know, whatever. Unfortunately, another sucky fucking thing about Pittsburgh in just 2020, a lot of jobs hire people through staffing agencies. And that's all I'll say about that, because I don't want to fuck up my current situation. But if you know, you know. So what I've been doing is still applying to shit, because you don't, you know what I'm saying? You don't know what the fuck shit is going to be like once all the dust settles with this, and like
shit gets back to quote unquote normal. So I'm just making sure that I'm trying to protect myself. And, you know, in that whole time frame, in like being home all day, not having like, well, once I woke up because, you know, insomnia, I, you know, you come up with your greatest ideas while in the lowest of the lows. It's a fact. I did leave out the fact that, remember the day, remember my birthday where I told you, like, I didn't want to be here? That was a day that my uncle, he had came to visit because he was, like, on this side of the country. And I was telling him about my podcast. And, like, it was, bro, I was fucked up that day. Like, I wasn't, like, fucked up intoxicated or anything, but, like, it's hard to communicate when you're going through something like that. It's hard to communicate to people that, you know, don't know everything about you. Even, like, with my girlfriend, like, it's hard to communicate. So, like, I was just fucked up, bro. And somehow he understood, you know, what I wanted to do with the podcast and everything. He legit gave me a camera. Like, a camera. You know what I'm saying? So, that's how I got my camera. So, you know, that was a blessing. So, you know, me, even though all of everything I'm going through, I'm still hard body. I'm still not about to let nothing, like, you know, if I'm gonna die, you're gonna kill me. I'm just not going, you know, die laying down. So I'm doing research on how to make money from home, how to do this, do that. And I find this YouTube channel that is talking about how to make, you know, money on YouTube when you don't, without having to record videos. Excuse me. So, you know, I started doing that, or that was my idea. Again, wheels are always turning, especially when you, at this point, I had insomnia, but it was just from the anxiety. It wasn't because I stopped taking the medicine. So, I'm still up all night. It's late now. I think I just need to fix my sleep schedule because I mean, anxious. Like, I'm kind of getting just anxious talking about this shit and, like, reliving it. But, like, I don't know. I think I just have to readjust my sleep schedule, hopefully. But I don't know. You know, we'll see. But what I was saying was, you know, I said, okay, I'm going to make that type of channel. You know, basically, if you don't know what Creative Commons is, it's when you basically, it's basically videos on YouTube that you're allowed to copy and, you know, post as your own. You just have to, you know, doctor them a little bit. So that was the initial plan with my YouTube channel. Well, with this second YouTube channel, because I have the first YouTube channel where I post my podcasts and stuff on there. So, I, you know, I'm planning to do that. So I create the channel, but that was around the time, like February 20th or something. I forget when it was, but it was around the time that Umar Johnson, you know, was trending because people were clowning him about his whole Kobe Bryant, that disgusting ass theory that he had about, you know, Kobe Bryant dying and shit that he did in the park where he looked crazy. And on Twitter, they made a thread, you know, Umar Johnson thread of, like, him saying funny stuff, him saying, him just looking like a complete ass. And I searched for, you know, Umar Johnson's funniest moments on YouTube. And guess what? There were no videos about that. So, I'm listening, you know, to all of these, LLC Twitter. We all got the same 24 hours Twitter, entrepreneur Twitter. And they're saying, caught something that somebody said. And they were like, basically, the one thing you want to do when it comes to business is figure out something that people need but doesn't exist. So my brilliant ass translated to that to making a damn Umar Johnson compilation YouTube channel. So I mean, made the channel. That shit blew. It blew. Now, it didn't blow like 1 million views in one day, but because I'm still not monetized. But it's lit. It's pretty lit. The last time I checked, I was 400 subscribers away from being monetized. I'm like two times the watch the required watch time hours that you need to get monetized. So I just need the subscribers and shit. So yeah, that's cool. It's one thing I will tell you is it's a fucking job. Like there was last week, because like remember I told you I was gonna do Creative Commons on this channel as well, but like those videos don't get any views. So, like, those videos don't get any views, so I just had to say, you know what, I'm gonna take, not really a transition, because I was still doing the Umar Johnson videos. I have at least 20, of those Umar Johnson videos. But what I wanted to do was, just make what people want to see on there, bro, I have of videos of Umar Johnson that have thousands of views on there. I have only two, unfortunately. Hopefully there'll be more. But I have two that have tens of thousands of views on there. So, I mean, it's clear that that's where my subscribers are coming from. So let me, do what my subscribers want. So, I'm doing compilation videos. Now I'm also doing commentary videos, and it's pretty lit. But like I was saying, like when I was doing, and I did this transition, like in the last week, where like I'm basically not gonna be. I mean, I have videos that like I basically got videos in the tuck that I'm going to put out because I've already made them. But for the most part, I'm gonna just be dealing with Umar's fraud ass for the duration of this, because that's what people want to see. So, I mean, I'm still going to, I'm still going to, what can I say? I forgot what I was going to say. Post like other things other than what he, what has to do with him, but it's most likely going to be dealing with something that's funny or something that has to do with not necessarily the black conscious community, but consciousness in the form of it would be food for the soul for, people to hear. So that's pretty much where I'm at. I just got the idea that, maybe it's not a good idea to reveal my identity, but actually, it isn't. It is, because this is actually my content that I'm making. I'm not stealing people's videos. So, yeah, that's the story. I know that, I mean, I gave you guys a good hour of
that job organization, but after a while, I had to stop talking about it because, like I told you, I was getting a little anxious, and I've calmed down since I told you the whole shindig about my YouTube channel. So, this is an episode, my nigga. This is an episode. There's an episode coming to you guys next week still, but this counts as a fucking episode because this is an hour and a half. So, yeah, that's episode 30 fucking 5 for y'all. Fuck is wrong with y'all? But, yeah, man, I know much people probably won't make it to the end, but if you did make it to the end, I fuck with you. And, you can't like this, but share my shit. If you made it to the end, share my shit, because you fuck with it as enough to listen to the end, so somebody else might want to fuck with me. But yeah, all my other links in there, you know, y'all know what it is. It's in the description and all that. I ain't finna be saying do this every time. Y'all should buy merch, but whatever. What I will say is that I'm excited because, like I said, I started doing like commentary and like reaction videos and people like it. So I know that I can have a voice. I know that I'm just not like talking just to talk. And I am kind of just talking just to talk. And I need improvement in like, you know, reviewing albums and stuff. But it's, I can do this shit. You know what I'm saying? I kind of felt, number one thing that, you know, confirmed it is because I showed my family the channel and they liked it. And my family, like, no, they're gonna tell you some shit sucks. So I showed my brother and my cousin it, and they were like laughing and shit. So that gave me confirmation and a, you know, like a boost. So yeah, man, this shit is live. It's pretty much all I got. I had to do this though, because it was like taking a weight off of my shoulders. I just hope that I didn't infringe on any contract that I signed with that employer. I don't really care. Y'all still gonna give me my fucking money because I worked for y'all for 2 years. So yeah, run me my shit. But yeah, we out here. This is episode 35 of the Big Podcast. I am your host, Him He. And it's like that. It's a wrap.